From broadcast to baptism. Powered by SID Media.
Mr. Sindiso Sibanda, good afternoon to you, sir.
Good afternoon, Zama. How are you?
Very well, thank you. How are you doing?
I am very well, blessed and highly favored in yourself.
Oh, blessed indeed. Thank you so much for joining us. Now, we spent some time talking about unfair dismissal in the last weeks. And today we want to focus particularly on the matter of constructive dismissal. I think it came out in the last conversation. Do tell us, Sindiso, what exactly is constructive dismissal?
Zama, constructive dismissal, in fact, we've spoken about, we've spoken about the misconduct of an employee and so on and so forth, and how, the employer can follow certain disciplinary processes and all that stuff. Now, what happened in a situation where it is the employer who is involved in some form of misconduct. Mm. In this case, constructive dismissal would be where an employer makes a continued working relationship intolerable for the employee.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result of the conduct of that employer, the employee then resigns from work. That resignation, the employee's resignation, is deemed as a dismissal, and in this case, in this particular instance, constructive dismissal.
Mm. Interesting. Now, would an employee be aware that this was a constructive dismissal, or they would just say, hey, I'm uncomfortable, I'm leaving?
Right. Basically, I mean, look, one thing that I will do is let me just take you through various scenarios in terms of case law in relation to constructive dismissal.
Right.
In order for an employee to succeed with a claim for constructive dismissal, that employee must prove that the working relationship has become indeed intolerable. In other words, that relationship is intolerable, the employee cannot continue to work.
Mm.
The courts have interpreted it in various ways. And one of the ways that they've interpreted it, this constructive dismissal, is that the resignation of that employee must have been a last resort. There must have been no other motive for the resignation, and the employee would have continued and otherwise if the working relationship was tolerable. But in this case, this employee found it intolerable to continue working for the employer under those particular circumstances. I'll take you to case law, Zama.
Yeah.
One case is the case of Copeland and New Dawn Prophecies Business Solution.
Mm.
In this case, the court held that an employee alleging constructive dismissal has to show convincingly that his resignation came as a result of the employer being the villain in the employment relationship.
Mm.
And that employer made the employment relationship intolerable to him to such an extent that he finally, in desperation, and having exhausted all internal mechanisms available to him of the employer, having exhausted all those, decided, you know what, there is no other alternative except to resign. Now, the test to determine whether the dismissal of that employee is a constructive dismissal or not is an objective test.
Okay.
The mere fact that an employee decides, oh, you know what, I've had a situation with the employer and I'm going to resign because I feel aggrieved, is not sufficient to prove constructive dismissal.
Mm.
In the case of LM Wolfson Motors and Lionel Motors versus Dispute Resolution Center,
mm-hmm.
This particular employee approached her HR manager and demanded to immediately have access to 24 months of clocking records. She had queried her overtime that had been paid to her, mm-hmm. and decided, you know what, I need to analyze these clocking cards so that I can see whether my overtime tallies with the pay that I've received. Mm. She approached the HR manager, and the HR manager angrily, because the HR manager was busy, angrily swore at that particular employee. She neither followed any internal clearance procedures nor reported the matter to her direct superior, but opted that, you know what, resignation, I'm going to resign because, you know, the HR manager swore at me. When she approached the court, she lodged a case of constructive dismissal, and the court found that that resignation did not constitute a constructive dismissal, as the situation was far from intolerable. There were remedies that she had, internal remedies, which she could have pursued. Mm-hmm. However, she refused to follow those particular remedies.
Yeah.
There are three elements that need to come out in order for one to succeed with a claim for constructive dismissal. And one, that employee must show that he or she has resigned from work. That is the first element.
Okay.
The second element is that they must show that the reason for the resignation was that the continued employment relationship had become intolerable. And finally, that employee must show that it is the conduct of the employer that created the intolerable circumstances. I'll also take you again to another case, which is the case of Nyland versus Ntabeni and others. Here, the employee resigned and said that the reason for his resignation was as a result of the affair that his employer had with his wife.
Mm.
In this case, from the evidence that was gathered, it was clear that the employee had, in actual fact, known about this affair between his employer and his wife for several years and had forgiven both his employer and his wife. And that the actual reason for this employer resigning was not as a result of the affair, but that he had actually secured employment from a competitor of that employer.
Mm.
And obviously the court found that dismissal was not constructive dismissal, or rather that resignation was not constructive dismissal.
Mm.
One interesting thing, Zama, is that not all constructive dismissal cases are unfair.
Okay.
I'll take you to a case of
that's interesting.
WL Oxenweb and Pretorius versus Vermilion. In this case, the employee resigned as a result of the change of commission structure of the employer. This drastically reduced the employee's income. The labor court in this the labor appeal court in this case held that though the change in the commission structure rendered the employment relationship intolerable and amounted to a constructive dismissal, it was not unfair. The employer acted fairly under the circumstances and had applied a uniform commission structure in the workplace.
Mm-hmm.
And he followed a fair process in implementing it. So the fact that the employer had applied a uniform structure made it a fair process, and therefore the claim for or constructive dismissal was dismissed in this case. So each case, as we always say, is assessed according to its own merits.
We
look at the circumstances of each case. Now, finally, Zama, there's a situation where an employee is provided with less favorable terms after a transfer of a business. In this case, this is where there's a sale of a business. I'll give you an example. For instance, Thomas works for C Construction, and C Construction decides to sell their business to Baptist Building Construction. Baptist Building Construction changes the terms and conditions of the employee so that that employee now works 6 days a week and reduce, instead of, for instance, that the previous working days or working week, which was five-day working week, and then they reduced the salary of that particular employee, as well as the retirement age, for instance, from a retirement age from 65 to 60. And Thomas finds this condition unbearable, and he resigns. Thomas's resignation in the, under these circumstances is it can be regarded as a constructive dismissal. Mm-hmm. So in this case, where an employee resigns because the conditions or the circumstances of the new employer are substantially less favorable than those of the previous employer, that constitutes a constructive dismissal. This particular definition of constructive dismissal must be read in conjunction with Sections 197 and Section 197A of the Labor Relations Act, which are designed to protect the interests of employees where there's a transfer of business. And the transfer of business can occur in the ordinary course of the business or during a situation where that particular company has become insolvent. And the Labor Relations Act is designed to protect the interests of the employees under those particular circumstances.
It's fine. You were going to make another point. You can go ahead.
Yes. I was going to make another point, Zama, and I'll take you to the case of Almazest, which is it's a case of Almazest versus Alexander,
right?
Where the gross income of that particular employee was reduced by about 45% after the transfer of a business. This business was transferred as a going concern, and the court held that this was unreasonable and did not amount to the requirements that were set out in the Labor Relations Act, namely that the where there is a transfer of a business, the conditions of employment must be similar to those of the previous employer.
Now, Cindy, so tell me, man, because this doesn't, look like a very straight and clear-cut, situation. And so it may be difficult to prove from one case to the other in terms of is it truly a constructive dismissal or not? Who bears the burden of proof in cases where a constructive dismissal case arises?
Right. As indicated earlier, there are the three elements that the employee needs to prove, and that is the employee's burden of proof.
I see.
And thereafter, the burden shifts to the employer to prove that the employment employment relationship has not deteriorated. So, for starters, all that the employee needs to prove is that, one, that employee has resigned and that the working relationship has become intolerable, and that the working relationship has become intolerable not as as a result of the employee's own doing, but as a result of that employer. So that is the burden of proof in relation to the employee. And then once the employee has proved that, one, she has resigned, two, that the resignation was a result of an intolerable working relationship, and like I said, it is objective, the employment relationship must indeed be intolerable. So it's not just circumstances where, you know, you have a brush up with the employer and and then you resign and say, oh, okay, no, you know what, that the employment relationship has become intolerable. It must be consistent, it must be objectively an intolerable working relationship. And then finally, it must be the conduct of the employer that causes this working relationship to be intolerable. So, like I said, the resignation must be a last resort for the employee. The employee must also prove that they have exhausted all internal remedies that they have to try and resolve the issue that they have with the employer, and those issues have failed. And as a last resort, they have finally resigned.
Yeah. Now, lastly, Senator, before I let you go, last week, when the other week, when we spoke about unfair dismissal, we spoke about the process going to the CCMA arbitration and all of that. Does a case of constructive dismissal have to follow the same route, or is it a completely different route?
Most definitely, Zama, it's the same process. An employee alleging to be dismissed under a constructive dismissal must approach approach the CCMA, and it goes through arbitration after conciliation after conciliation. It goes through arbitration, and finally, if all else fails, then that is directed to the labor court. So the process is the same. There's nothing different, because all that it constitutes, whether it's constructive dismissal or unfair dismissal, it is a dismissal nonetheless. And the labor processes that are followed are through the CCMA.
Okay, interesting. Yeah, well, these labor issues, man. But Cindy, so you have actually, explained it so eloquently to us and very succinctly. Thank you so much for coming through. I always, always, always appreciate your time here at AWR together with our listeners. Blessings to you.
Thank you so much, Zama. Blessings to yourself.
Thank you.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.